Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Tell Us a Good Story. Today, we get to talk to a two-time number one best-selling author and the host or co-host of many of the Ramsey shows, Dave's daughter, Rachel Cruz.
So as you can imagine, the main question she always gets is, what is it like to grow up as Dave Ramsey's daughter?
Yes, and Rachel had a lot of great stories to share, such as the craziest phone calls they have taken live on the air, the funny interactions she has had with Ramsey fans out in public, and what do the other Ramsey kids do today?
Plus, Rachel might be the first person we've ever met who's never had any debt in her life.
Zero.
None.
No debt of any kind. Not a mortgage, student loans, nothing. That's not normal.
Kevin, that's crazy. You guys, we can't wait for you to hear this episode with an amazing woman and Ramsey personality, Rachel Cruz.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
Okay, friends, before we get to this episode, just a friendly reminder to please hit the subscribe button on YouTube and Apple Podcast or give us a review.
5 stars, please.
In our world, this is super, super important because it will help with the algorithm to make it easier for people to find us.
And thank you for sharing our posts across your social media. That really helps with engagement and with us getting guests.
Yes. So, hey, if you want us to keep working our way up to talking to Chip and Joanna,
yes!
Please share us with your friends.
But regardless, thank you for listening to tell us a good story.
All right, Steph, this is gonna be so much fun.
She's here.
We have so many questions that we can ask her.
Yes.
This next guest. Well, friends, our next guest has a lot of titles. She is a wife, a mom of three, a two-time number one national best-selling author. She is host of the Rachel Cruz Show, co-host of the Smart Money Happy Hour podcast with our new friend George Campbell, and co-host of the Ramsey Show, often with her father, Dave Ramsey, and she is a proud graduate of the University of Tennessee. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Tell Us a Good Story, Mrs. Rachel Cruz.
Rachel!
Yeah. Oh, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
We're so excited.
Yes. First off, thank you for saying yes to us. Mm-hmm. We have been looking forward to talking to you. And I'm sure the most asked question for you is always, what's it like to grow up in the Ramsey household, right? So let's get that out of the way, because in my mind, you were a certified financial coach by the age of 5, right? That's what I'm thinking. What was it like, Rachel?
That's so funny. And you know what? I feel like that's a lot of people's assumption, is that we grew up in a household where money was talked about all the time. You know, that was it. That was the point of conversation constantly. And we had like mutual fund birthday parties, you know, when we were little, and had budget camps every summer and things like that. And thankfully, that was not the case. But mom and dad, they were very intentional with teaching us how money works, obviously. But besides that, I would say it was very normal. And I do think people assume that, again, we were like obsessed with money as a family and like ran around with scissors cutting up people's credit cards and things. it wasn't like that at all. But they were great at, you know, teaching us to work and giving and saving and spending our money. Like those like little tactical things they were great with and intentional with. But I'll tell you, it's been more helpful as an adult having him as a dad, that if I do have a question about something, I am like, hey, quick question.
So growing up in that household, is there something that they did that as an adult you're like, no, I'm not teaching my kids
not
that.
Doing that as a parent.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it is funny because I'm like, how you grew up, there are so many things that you obviously want to repeat, and then some things that you're like, oh, no. But I am trying to think, because mom and dad were not overly strict on like movies or that kind of thing. They were pretty like relaxed. I will say they were pretty hardcore with like the curfew scenario.
Okay.
And it was pretty black and white. Like if you were just a minute late, it felt like you were an hour late. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, yeah. I would say maybe that. There could be a little grace here and there with the curfew. But that's later down the line for me with kids.
Yeah. Okay, what's the biggest misconception then about being Dave Ramsey's daughter? Do people think you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth? Is that like the biggest misconception, Rachel?
I would say, yeah. I mean, I think that, yeah, being his daughter in some ways gives a level of credibility. And then other ways, it discredits me because people just assume, you know, I've been just handed everything. which is, you know, and it's a balance because actually the year I was born, they filed for bankruptcy. So in my throughout my childhood, I mean, they were just scraping to get by. I mean, they were really trying to get food on the table, if you will. So I remember, you know, shopping at consignment sales and, you know, we didn't go on vacations, like that kind of stuff as a kid. And then through high school, I feel like we started to probably see more them spending more and all of that. But they even through us growing up kind of kept everything really low means, if you will. And then when I graduated from high school, I'll never forget, there were a couple of things they did. They built a house, all this stuff. And I'm like, where is all this money coming from? Like, where was this when I was like a sophomore in high school? And it feels like I could have benefited. So in one way, you know, we, you know, it was a very quote unquote normal upbringing. It wasn't this like extravagant upbringing. And then on the other end, I'm like, they set us up well. They set us up paying for college. You know, we had a mutual fund when we got married, they gave it to us. And so, you know, we were able to use that for stuff. And so, I mean, there were definitely things that they did to set us up well and opportunities. I work here at Ramsey. So I'm like, I'm not shy to the fact that, you know, I get to co-host, you know, the Ramsey show and do these other things or have great contacts in the space of media, you know, different things that I wouldn't have if I wasn't here at Ramsey. So it is one of those things that it is a balance. Like I definitely was born to a degree of privilege because, you know, when you look at college, you look at all of that. I'm like, it was, I started on a financial foundation that was above ground, not in a hole having to dig my way out. So all of that, I so appreciate. But then, you know, but I don't get like secret checks in the mail. Like I have to go to work. Like,
right.
I'm like, I'm here, you know, in the office today working and hanging out with you guys. And so like, I have bills to pay. Like I have to like pay our cable bill. Do you know what I mean? Like our family is still, we have to make money.
Okay. So growing up, all right, you're dating a guy in college. He's taking you on a date. He whips out a credit card.
Oh, gosh.
Is that like a red flag for
we're
you?
Done.
Are you just like, you like internally think like, and we're done. This is it.
This is not going to be a good fit.
Yeah.
No, because my husband did.
Did he?
Well, I was going to ask about that. So how does that transpire in your mind? Are you physically like freaking out? Like, dad wouldn't like this. What should I do?
No, because I know credit cards are so normal. Like, I know this is like, it would almost be abnormal if he didn't to a degree where I'm like, oh, because everyone had it. Like, that's just like what you did. And, you know, and Winston, you know, he would tell you to this day, he got one to build up his credit score. You know, he paid rent on it and utilities and the roommates paid him. He had the system go in to get his credit score up, you know, so like in all the quote unquote responsible ways, that's kind of what he was doing. And I didn't know, I didn't say anything for a few dates. And then as it started like progressing and I was like, oh no, this like could really go somewhere. You know, he didn't even know who Dave Ramsey was. So as we were dating, I think people mentioned it to him and he kind of did some Googling and was like, oh, wow. So it's kind of this other just, oh, I didn't even think you didn't have to have it. But he's a saver naturally. So he was like, okay, that makes sense. If you just pay cash for everything, you don't need a credit score. And okay. Like it just was it wasn't a big deal. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember the Capital One credit card paid for a few of our first dates.
Okay, so with him not knowing who your dad was, please tell me he didn't whip that out in front of your dad. you went on a family meal, he offers to pay for his own meal, and he whips out a credit card and instead of like cash. Like, please tell me he didn't do anything like that.
No, because I think if we ever went out with mom and dad in college, they were paying.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so have you ever owned a credit card?
I have not.
Have you ever had a loan outside of a mortgage?
No, I have not.
Have you ever had a mortgage loan?
No. Well, we got our first house in 2009 during the recession, and it was a short sale,
which we kind of
just like lucked out the timing of when we got married and all of that. And then we just built a house in 2019. And I'm pretty open with it. We paid cash for it. And so we saved up and paid cash for it. So it was a long 6-year process. And we had two rentals too that we had flipped and kept them as rentals and ended up selling those. So we had other sources of income for this house that we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a lot of work to do it. And I know that, and the mortgage is the one type of debt we don't yell at people for. That's what we always say. So yeah,
right.
So it's the one that obviously I understand people can't pay cash for a house, and especially in today's market. But it was a big goal for us, and we did it. And honestly, it was really, and I tell people this, you know, that, and especially when you're building, because I think building can get insane so quickly when you're picking out everything. And so what it did, it forced us to say no. I'm like, there were things that we still would have done that we didn't. You know, like we could have had an unfinished basement. This is just one example. This is one we kind of regret. We're like, dang it, we should have done it. It wasn't that much relative to the house to like dig out part of the unfinished basement. But we literally didn't have the cash. I mean, we didn't have the money to do it. Yeah. And we were like, we can't. So we said no to that. I mean, there were probably six or seven things we said no to. And looking back, we're like, oh, man, you know, 5 years later, we're like, dang it, we should have like stretched out the contract of the build and like saved up and done that. Like there, but it was good though. You know, it was good to say no and to have those boundaries and those limits. So that's the beautiful thing that cash does. It really forces you into a budget because it's what you have and you got to work with it.
Do you have cash always in your pocket or are you like debit card girl?
I'm more debit card girl. I keep some cash always. If I need something, I'll have it. But I'm pretty much debit card. And what's crazy now, y'all, which you know this, but I'm like Apple Pay and like, do you know what I mean? I'm like, there's so many ways to spend. So I'm kind of in that rhythm now. We do the every dollar budget, my husband and I do. And so it tracks your transactions. And so that's helpful when these transactions come in from spending on the debit card and all of that, that you can kind of drag and drop them into categories. So I like doing that. But if you're new to budgeting, I always recommend people use cash in some capacity just to feel the money leaving and like there's so much benefit to it. But at this point in life, I'm usually a debit card girl.
Rachel, do you know how rare that is? Not that we're trying to shame you by any means because we've had debt,
but
how rare it is you have never had debt. Student loans, a mortgage, a car note, and not even having a credit card.
Yeah.
That is incredible. Like, I can't imagine what the percentage is.
You might be the first person I've ever met to do that. So congratulations.
That's true.
I mean, that is so rare.
That is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Incredibly rare. So
just brainwash your kids. Like my
parents do it.
Just
kidding.
Right. No basement for you kids.
Yeah, sorry. That's right. I know.
All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
Now, you started at Ramsey Solutions right out of college. Is it true that your dad actually tried to talk you out of working for the company? Is that true?
Yeah, we had a big discussion when I was getting serious about it. I had interned the summer before, and I just went to different high schools and did some assemblies. And I just realized, I was like, I love teaching the next generation, like college students, high school students, like getting them this information. Because like we're talking about here, it was such a gift. I'm like, when you get this early, then you make decisions into adulthood that are probably different decisions than you would have made if you didn't know this, right? So that was like a big thing for me. And when I graduated college, I remember going to mom and dad. I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, if there's a position for me to travel and speak. Yeah. And during that conversation, he just said to me, he was like, you realize that it's going to be harder coming here for work versus going somewhere else because you have an uphill climb to make. Because automatically, regardless of how great people are or not, it's an automatic thought of like, oh, yeah, you're the boss's kid. So, okay, you get a little bit of a pass in some capacity, right? It's kind of people's assumption. And so he's like, you're going to have to come in earlier, work later. Like, you really have to prove yourself to earn a level of respect that other people don't walking into this position. So,
yeah.
But thankfully, you know, people at Ramsey are so, they're awesome.
Yeah.
Everyone at Ramsey that we have dealt with are amazing.
For sure.
So, what do your other two siblings do then? Please tell me your brother's not like an executive at American Express or someplace, right?
Yeah,
like,
no, I don't. Right? Like,
what do they do? Do they work there too or not?
Yes. So Daniel's here, my brother. Yes. So he's here at Ramsey. And then my sister actually runs my parents' foundation. So they formalized all their giving about 10 years ago. And she was working for a nonprofit at the time. And when they opened this, they asked her, if she would come in and help be the executive role and help with their giving. So she does that, which she's awesome. So all the nonprofits and charities and organizations that mom and dad give to, she runs all that.
Do you remember the first time that you co-hosted with your dad on air?
Gosh, do I remember the first time? I think I do. You know, there was another time before that even that was there was Ken Coleman, myself, and maybe one other person. And we co-hosted without Dave. For the first time. And I remember that one because we were all like, oh my gosh, are we going to sink the ship? Like, we have such power in this like microphone right here. Like, oh my gosh.
Did anybody sit in a seat?
It was at the old building. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I guess we would have had to because of the way the table was. But Yeah, I remember that one because I remember Ken being like, I can get us in and out of breaks. Like he used to do radio. You know, like we were like, oh my gosh. So that was funny. And I'm trying to think with him. I don't remember that one as much.
Really?
Isn't that funny? Yeah. It was always nerve wracking early on. I've gotten used to hosting that show, but people love Dave. And so for a long time, as the Ramsey personalities were kind of transitioning in and rotating, it was not pretty on the old reviews, you know, when you went and read the reviews, they did not want us there.
They don't like change.
They love Dave. Yeah, they love Dave, which I totally get. But also, we all know, you know, you don't live forever. And so eventually one day, what's going to happen, you know, to this platform? Is it just going to be gone when he's gone? Or mm-hmm. can you start transitioning to a degree at happening? So, so we've been on more and more. But that was probably 4 years ago when all that was going on, which is crazy. It was right around COVID when we really kind of ramped up the co-hosting with other personalities, not just Dave. So it's been almost 4 years. And I think finally people are somewhat okay with us.
mm-hmm. Okay. So you mentioned actually a lot there. First off, going back to what you were doing, high school assemblies, school events. Do you have any good stories from dealing with high school? Because I have gone back to my high school one time and spoke. Never again.
No, right? They're terrible, never again. Aren't they?
Yes.
No, high schoolers are great. They're intimidating. They don't care to be there.
No, they don't.
No, it was more just like you have to be so okay with yourself because you get zero affirmation when you talk to high schoolers. That's why I think I slowly transitioned out, honestly, and my life. I was married. I remember, you know, we were starting a family. I was like, oh, I have things to say about grocery shopping or like how to do this or that in life, or, you know, more adult topics. So my message kind of transferred with my age and season of life, which I loved, but I remember those were tough. The high school assemblies were not ideal. No.
Right.
And even college, there were some funny college ones. When I'd go to college campuses, there was one where I realized halfway through that majority of the group didn't speak English. And I found out after the foreign exchange office literally gave them extra credit to come hear me. And so they all kind of came up and they didn't fully like understand, you know what I mean? And we were like, I was trying to talk and I was like, wait, what is going on?
Like
so, yeah, that happened once. Yeah, there were a couple of funny moments, but I was glad they were getting the information.
That's not bad. Like, man, these kids are really clueless.
They are focusing, or they're just focusing.
Yeah, or they're very intent of trying to catch every word that I'm saying, because I talk fast too. So I probably wasn't the best guest speaker in that regard.
Okay, since you've been co-host and hosting stuff, and you take live phone calls, Rachel, what's one of the crazier calls you've taken, right? And I'm assuming at this point you're probably not surprised, but what's one of the crazier calls that you've had to take, either you or your dad there as a radio personality?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I mean, always the ones with like staggering student loan debt. We just had one this week. It was $1 million in student loans between her and her husband.
Half a million
basically for both of them. And I was like, oh my gosh. So like those are always the ones that kind of just baffle you, where you're like, I praying you're going to make a good income to help. I mean, like those always stand out. But dad, when I was hosting with dad, when this may have been 2 years ago now, but there was a lady on the phone and she was asking about selling her house and she was really rushed. You could tell she was kind of like outside. It was a little confusing. And so she said her son's father was there. It was the situation. And as you started getting context clues, realizing that he was abusive and he wouldn't leave her house. And he was there with her son. And they start talking on the, like, it was bad. We ended up calling the police because it was, she wanted out of her house. She wanted to get her son somewhere safe. But the son's dad, was like literally there that day in her house and wouldn't get out. And so she was telling us this on the call. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. So that was probably the wildest, like in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody on the other end that I can't reach.
Yeah.
Feels in danger and her child.
Right.
Is in a sense in danger, right? So you're just like, oh my gosh. So that was probably the wildest scenario.
So instead of calling 911, they called Ramsey Solutions.
She did, Well, she was trying to figure out if she could, with her house, she was asking about her house and we realized your house isn't the
right.
issue, you know, but you almost get so in those situations, the psychology breakdown happens so quickly that you almost can't see out and you feel like the crazy one in the situation. And so walking her through that, I mean, she cried at one point. I mean, it was so terrible.
Is it hard for you to relate to some people because you've never been in debt?
Right. Especially when, like I saw the other day, Rachel, someone's calling in and they're taking out debt for pets. Right? Or like to get a puppy and stuff like that. Right.
Right.
How do you deal with all that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously I haven't been in it. So to your point, I mean, I haven't done cocaine either, but I could probably tell you it's probably not a great plan, you know? Like, so I think there is like this aspect of I may not be able to empathize 100% with exactly what you're thinking and feeling, but I can tell you there is such a better way, right? Mm-hmm. I can tell you here's the road to take. That's not that. And, you know, and even growing up in a family where mom and dad's pain around money was so real and so visceral of bankruptcy and just living in that environment to a degree, you pick up on it and you realize this is something I want to stay far, far away from. But the norm is, yeah, you just don't take out credit cards. Like I can't even imagine, you know, I just think I'm like, oh my gosh, people, they go into debt for a car. I'm like, okay. And again, not because mom and dad had nice cars. They had crappy cars growing up.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even an option, you know? So when that's your norm, it is funny to look back. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah.
You know what's so interesting what she said? She's like, oh my gosh, you guys, you took debt out for a car. So many people are like, yeah, that's the norm.
That is the norm.
But it's not the norm
for
you. So that's so interesting that the way you just said it, you're like, huh, why would people do that?
Yes.
Yeah, speaking of cars, a couple months ago, Steph and I were on a date. We pull up to a light and the car in front of us, I think it was maybe a Toyota Camry, had a bumper sticker on the back and it said, Dave Ramsey makes me drive this car.
Oh, right? Stop it.
And so we had a good laugh about that. And we're in Ohio, right? So we're nowhere near Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah.
But with you, with fans of Dave Ramsey and all the personalities, have you had any fun interactions with fans at a live event, out in public? Do you have any good stories from that?
Yes. Oh, gosh. You know, it's funny because our work, we're not, you know, it's not like T-Swift or like, you know, Jennifer Aniston, you know, we're not actors or musicians or like this, that kind of fandom happens. If people recognize us, which I love, it's about them, which is amazing. Like they'll come up and be like, we're debt free. Or like I went to Disney World with my daughters and I got stopped maybe 20 times. It was a lot.
Really?
Really?
Yes, in the park. But people would say, I mean, out of all those, probably 15 out of 20 said, we're here because we're debt free and we saved up for this. Or it's because of you guys, we did this. And so I love it when people come up because I love that it's them. It's them doing the work, right? I mean, like we can talk about this all day, but it's not this like screaming like, oh my gosh, I just love you. It's not that. It is like, oh, here's what our family's done.
Right.
And you've actually put into practice, you know, what you guys teach. So that's always my favorite. And when people always say, you know, oh my gosh, you guys changed our lives. We always say back because it's true. I'm like, no, we didn't. You changed your life. Like, I'm not in Ohio, you know, living in your house and doing the work. Like, I'm not doing that. You're doing that. And that's the power, I think, in this idea of being able to help people in this way is that they're the hero. Like, we're not the celebrities in that. Like, we see them as celebrities of like, oh, you did this. So, yeah, we were getting on one of the rides at Disney and this lady from like way up top was getting on and she just yelled down, Rachel, I love you and George on the happy hour. Like, It was great. So yeah, it's always fun when people come up. So
how empowering is that? Like, what does that do for your spirit? Like, oh my gosh, like we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Like if there's ever a doubt, there's just clarification that we are in the right thing right now.
It is, yeah. Cause sometimes, you know, there are points that I'm like, are we the crazy ones? Like, are we the ones that are missing something? But no one's ever come up to me and be like, oh my gosh, I did it all and I hate this and I want to get back in debt and spend everything I make and have no savings. You know, you don't get that reaction. Mm-hmm. It's always, we did this stuff and it does work. So it is, it's confirmation. And just like you guys doing this podcast, you know, we don't get to interact with people all the time unless we're at a live event. So when you do see somebody that yells down, love you and George, I'm like, oh, there's the face of the people behind the microphone, because you stare into a camera or a microphone and you hope someone's listening or you never know. And then when you meet them, you're like, oh, it's you. Okay.
Yes. Kevin and I say that all the time. We're like, we're hoping people are listening to our show, but you never know.
Until
right?
You, yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry about
it. Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
So for all of our guests, I like to give a list of fun facts to let listeners know what you've done, what you've accomplished, and keep me honest if I'm wrong on any of these, okay? And Steph is not aware of any of these fun facts, so you're going to see her genuine, authentic reaction.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait.
Ready, Steph?
Yeah.
All right, fun fact number one. Rachel has been speaking at events since she was in high school. Her first speaking gig was with her dad at the age of 15 in front of 5,000 people.
Oh.
So, at Rachel, 15. At age 15, what was your dad like? Was he like, hey, don't embarrass me, kid, in front of these people? And how did you prepare for that? How did you have the composure to get in front of 5,000 people, age 15, and not have to change your pants afterwards? Like, that is amazing.
Yeah, so it was at one of the big events they used to do on Saturdays called Total Money Makeover Live. So this was, golly, 22 years ago. And during that day, they would have different breaks. And so before one of the breaks, one of the other team members mentioned, because we would work those events as kids. Like, we were the ones running around, like, handing out stuff or, like, notebooks for people. Like, we worked these events a lot as kids. And one of the team members said, Rachel, you could go on stage and do something. Like, you have such a fun personality. You totally could. And I was like, me on stage? And they're like, yeah. And so the conversation started. And basically, it came out, like, how great would it be to go and pitch the kids' products? Like, you go out on stage and talk about the kids' products because you guys use them at home. And we can make a funny, like, it's, you know, the top 10 list of why it's tough to be Dave Ramsey's kid. That's like when Letterman was on and he always had his top 10 list. Yeah,
that's
so
good.
During that day. So they were like, we could make it really funny and great, you know. And so we went and wrote it and I practiced it. And then at the time, the company, which we still do to this day, we have staff meeting and Devos. Monday morning is an hour of staff meeting. All the staff gets together and kind of updates what's going on in the company, different areas, so everyone's on the same page. And then every Wednesday morning for an hour, they have, you know, somebody local, an author or a pastor or a musician or someone come and just, like, have some inspiration. So they call it devotional time, Devo. And so during that Devo, which now we have like 1,100 people here at Ramsey that work here. So at the time, it was maybe 200 people. You know, it was significantly less. And I had to get up and give my talk in front of the company. And that was my practice to get in front of people and say it. And I'll never forget, like, halfway through, I blanked. You know, that feeling where you're like,
yes.
And I don't have notes or anything, you know. I blanked. And her dad was on the front row and he was like, push through. You got to push through. You're on stage right now with 5,000 people. It's what you got to remember. What are you going to do? You got to just keep pushing through. And I was like, okay, I'm going to keep pushing through. And I just picked it back up and kept going, you know. And they were all like, it was the best 200 people to do it in front of because they love, you know, they're just wonderful.
Like family. Yeah.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. So that was, I had to do it for them. And I did it twice that week in front of that group and then went out. And he was, dad was so supportive. Yeah. And he kind of was like, I remember before we went on, he's like, it's really not that big of a deal, Rachel. Like, you can do this. Like, it's going to be over in 8 minutes. Yeah, you're great. Don't stress out about it. You know, he was like trying to, like, not a big deal kind of feeling. So,
that's what they tell professional bull riders. Hey, it's not that big of a deal.
Eight seconds. It's 8 seconds. Just go.
You can do it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Just go have fun. So I said, go have fun.
All right, Steph. Next fun fact. As I mentioned earlier, Rachel went to the University of Tennessee and got her communications degree. And Rachel, I'm only sharing this because I would love for you to share a particular story, okay?
Okay.
But while in college at UT, Rachel got a tattoo. So can you please share the story of the tattoo and the reaction of your dad, Rachel? Because I love that.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Yes, I was a freshman, and I remember it was, like, raining one day. I don't know why, that's my memory. We were all in the dorm. We were just bored. And all my friends, you know, there were probably 8 of us. And someone was like, we should go, like, go get a tattoo. We were like, yeah, let's go get tattoos.
We should totally do that.
We should go. So we went, and it was, like, it's this big. I mean, it's tiny, and it's a Jesus fish. You know, the little fish? It's, like, this big. It is so small. And I went home a few weekends later and I told my parents, and my dad he was so mad. He threatened to pull my tuition. He was like, he was like, I'm not going to pay for college if you start getting tattoos everywhere. And I was like, oh my gosh. So that was, now I think he's way more comfortable with tattoos. So is probably society than back in the day, 20 years ago. But
So you actually told him. They didn't, you weren't like out on vacation and they saw it. You literally.
No, I told them. Yeah, I told mom first and she was like, oh, honey, you know, that's so silly. Yeah, she just was like, oh, man. And then I think she was like, you got to tell your dad. I was like, he's going to be pissed. Okay. It's like this big. It's so small. It's so small.
Your dad's like, where did we go wrong as parents?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, like, oh, the world, yeah, world is ending.
I know. It's so funny. I saw a meme the other day on Instagram, and it said, my kid just got a face tattoo. Just bottle feed was the bottom word. I was like, that's so good. All the moms are always like paranoid of like, oh my God, should I do this or that? It's like, yeah. My kid just got a face tattoo. Right. Who knows how they're going to turn out, you know?
So true.
I love the fact, though, that he literally threatened, I'm not paying for school.
We're done. Yeah.
We're done. All right, Steph, next fun fact. Rachel is co-host of The Ramsey Show, which is America's second largest talk radio show. The Ramsey Show is also now the number one podcast in all categories on Apple Podcasts. She's host of The Rachel Cruze Show. She's co-host of the That's Smart Money Happy Hour with George Camel. Mm-hmm. Which debuted as the number one podcast on Apple Business, and she's authored multiple books. So, Rachel, here's how I envisioned this happen. I envisioned all these creatives at Ramsey Solutions went to your dad and pitched all these ideas, and your dad's like, oh, Rachel can do that. And then 3 months later, oh, Rachel can do that too. And then you just got all of these jobs now, all this responsibility. It's like, how do you manage all of these tasks, all these responsibilities? Because you have a lot going on.
Yes. Yeah. And what's funny is most of those I brought to the table. Not the co-hosting Ramsey Show, but my show I really wanted to do. And Smart Money Happy Hour was one that about 3 years ago I really fought for because I knew it was going to be a hit. I was like, people want a high level, fun, pop culture, current events, money show. Like, that's what we can do. Like, we keep targeting people that want to learn about money. What if we target just culture, like just in general, just people that like love entertainment and pop culture. And then we sneak in the money on the back end. So it's more like fun and all that. We could have a cocktail or a mocktail every episode and like all of this. So, and then I was like, and George, I love George. George and me are like brother and sister. And so I was like, George would be so fun. I want to do it with him. Like, we both talk about money all the time and it'll be great. So that one we really fought for. And then finally they said, yes, we got a budget for it and we figured out and it's been awesome. So that's been a really fun hit. And so it's what I love. I love it though, too. My husband's always like on Mondays, especially Mondays are like my really long days. I work probably, 12 hours. And he's always like, are you ready for Monday? And I tell him, like, I'm always just like, it sounds cheesy, but I'm like, I'm so thankful that I don't hate Mondays. Like,
yeah,
I've had
that's
all
good.
Weekend with the kids and family. Yes. And I'm like, I'm actually kind of excited to like shower and like put makeup on and like talk to adults and be in meetings with people I love and we laugh and we have fun and we create content and we shoot shows and it's so fun. Yeah.
That's not most people. Most people hate their jobs, right?
They
hate Mondays.
I know. Exactly. So I'm really thankful.
Steph, what is one of the most asked questions we get about tell us a good story?
Do I really get that excited?
Besides that one.
Oh, how do we get all these incredible guests?
Correct. Yes. And some of our best conversations have been with guests who our listeners have reached out to us and said, you should talk to this person. To name just a few, Nick Vujicic, Coach Tom Ryan, Carol Motika were all recommendations from our listeners.
So if there's someone you would like us to interview and think they might be a great fit for Tell Us a Good Story, please let us know at kevinandsteph.com. You don't even have to personally know them.
True, but do me a favor. Before you submit their names, please make sure they are still alive. That has actually happened, and it is super hard for me to find their contact information.
But regardless, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
Final fun fact here. Rachel is a 2-time number one national best-selling author, and a few months ago released her first ever illustrated children's book titled...
Oh, we have it!
I'm glad for what I have, and it's over her right shoulder there as well.
Yes, we do.
And ever since your team actually sent this to us, which they were kind enough to do, I've read this to Steph every night before bedtime. That's what we do now. That's our bedtime routine. But in all seriousness, this is a wonderful children's book.
It's so good.
It is wonderful. The pictures are amazing. And like you said, Steph, the pages are super thick.
It's quality.
It is very
Chance
nice.
Chance are going to have to work hard to rip these
because,
pages.
Because like our little guy, right? Well, I don't want to say it, but for some kids, most kids, it'll be a challenge to tear the pages.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I know. That's my hope. My I was like, I wanted thick pages because as a mom.
We know.
Yes.
Ones. Yes. I know. I ideally, we priced out doing like a board book, like with like the real.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But with like, yeah, manufacturing all of it, we couldn't pull it off, which is totally fine. But I was like, okay, if we're doing regular paper, get me literally the thickest page that they have, because that's what I'm going to go
it's
for.
It's very so nice.
I'm glad you appreciate that.
Yes. It was so, I noticed it immediately. Yes, yes. I noticed it. I'm like, oh, these are such good pages.
Well,
yes.
Can you please tell listeners about this book that you put together, your first ever children's book?
Yes, I know. I'm so excited about it. You know, I have three kids, like I mentioned. They're 8, 6, and 4. And they just were in this like rhythm where talking about like the Amazon guy coming to the front door, you know, when is he coming, mom, today? You know, it was like this like assumption that packages just always show up. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've created these little consumeristic kids. Like, I'm like, this is what I've done, because it's me, right? They're not the one doing all this. So it was just a kind of a check in the mirror and in my spirit where I thought, oh my gosh, I want my kids to know that having stuff is not bad. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to fulfill you the way you think it will. That happiness and excitement that you get with something new, just like mommy feels and they feel when they always just want, that excitement, it's gone. It's gone within, you know, for me, sometimes half an hour. You get something in the mail, like, oh, great. And you just move on with your life. But when you're buying it or you really want it, you feel like, oh, this thing, this excitement, what I'm feeling, this emotion, this dopamine hit, it's going to last forever, because if I can just have this, I'll be okay. And that is a lie that I think we've all believed. And you end up being a rat in a wheel, just running, 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 buying, 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 knowing that it doesn't really satisfy you. So it was a message I really want to teach my kids. I mean, it goes into the contentment subject and what does really fulfill you. What is the things that we can focus on that is really there? So I wanted animals with it. I didn't want like kids, illustrated kids. I was like, I want like an animals. I want it whimsical and kind of magical. And so throughout the story, yeah, the little animals just want and want and want. And the parents kind of give way and they do, you know, they buy and buy and buy, and they realize they're not happy anymore, that our stuff is supposed to make us feel a certain way and it's not anymore. And so they go on this little adventure and discover that. So it's so sweet. I'm really excited about it. And I'm going to go ahead and just say it, because I have three books that I wanted to write kids books wise, because I have a journal called the Contentment Journal for Women. And it walks through 30 days of gratitude, 30 days of humility and generosity, and 30 days of contentment. And my dream about 2 years ago was if I could pair kids' books along with the journey their mom is going on, it would be like a perfect world. So it's actually coming true. So this book is on contentment. So I started on the end of it. And the next one is on gratitude. And it comes out April 16th. So there's a new one coming. And
congratulations.
Thank you. So yeah, when you read this book, which I'm glad for what I have, there's different scenes. So there's kind of like a safari scene with those animals. There's an ocean scene and then forest. And so each book has kind of the lead character. So the next one's the ocean. So that'll be the front cover. So we'll send you that one too. But that comes out April 16th, good, which I'm really excited about.
You know what, Rachel? You hit on such an important topic with contentment.
Yes.
Like, I'm really so aware of that. Like, just be happy with what you have. And our kids are all kinds of like, can I get on Amazon and put stuff in the cart? I'm like, why? Like, be thankful for what you have. And then in the book, I loved it. What are the pictures? Like, they had so much, it was just in a pile, or things were broken because they had so much. And I'm like, oh, this is so good. So I love that you wrote this book, and I think it's going to touch so many children. It touched my heart, and I'm an adult. Oh. I'm like, yes,
yes,
that's exactly what we need.
It's something good you can read to your kids. Or grandparents can read to their grandchildren.
Yes. Yeah, because that was the other thing, like you said, Steph. I was like, as a mom, I read so many books to my kids. And so the ones that I've loved in the past are the ones that have a message that like make me tear up as a you know, as an adult, where you're like, I needed that message. So when I wrote it, that was part of it too. I'm like, how can I end it where even an adult reading it is like, oh, I needed that. I needed that reminder, because I do. I mean, the book's basically for me. And they're short, too. That was another thing. I was like, I don't want it long.
Especially at bedtime, right? You're like, oh, my gosh.
Let's not extend the bedtime longer than it already is, the process.
Yes. So short, quick.
Gets to the point. Yes. I loved it. No, you did an excellent job. And I love, again, I love the pages. It's something so simple, But as a mom,
you noticed it immediately.
Immediately, I'm like, oh my gosh, these pages are amazing.
Yes, so, I'm so glad. Job. Thank you. I so appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, listeners, for more information about Rachel and to get her books, you can go to her website, rachelcruz.com. Her Instagram is Rachel Cruz and Facebook is at Rachel Ramsey Cruz. And we'll put links in the show notes and on our website so you can click right on those links and go to the social media and her website for this book. Well, Rachel, you have been amazing. Thank you so much for doing this and coming on with Steph and I on Tell Us a Good Story. You're fantastic.
For sure. Well, thank you guys for having me. I so appreciate it. It was so fun.
Friends, we want to encourage you to please follow us wherever you listen to this, whether it's on the Apple Podcast app, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or one of the other platforms.
You guys, it's completely free. And while you're there, feel free to give us a rating or a nice review.
Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.